If you will, find yourself to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 1. And as you're finding your way there this morning, one of my favorite lines when it regards to determination, intensity, and focus comes from the book Total Money Makeover. Has anybody read that book? That is by Dave Ramsey. And it's this. The line is gazelle-like intensity. And gazelle-like intensity, it captures the intensity of a gazelle in the Serengeti fleeing from a hungry cheetah. Now, in context, Dave Ramsey is talking about the speed of intensity that you should have when paying off your debt. This morning, we are going to apply it not to debt, but rather in our relationship with the Lord. We should have gazelle-like intensity. So it does apply to today's message. And I wonder this morning if there's anything in your life that you can look at and you can say, I'm pursuing this with gazelle-like intensity. Is there something that I think about 24/7 and I work for or I pursue because I have the determination and the intensity for it? This morning you'll see, as we get ready to read our scripture, Paul looks at himself and he says, I picture myself as an athlete who is full of determination, intensity, focus, and intentionality. If you are an athlete, you understand that these things are required to be a good athlete. And so today I hope and I pray that you are encouraged. I hope that you are challenged to remain focused on your spiritual journey and to persevere in faith when things get hard, because who knows that faith can be hard. It can be. So, let's get to our scripture this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, 4 through 1. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is in their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and I long for, and my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. If you write anything down today, write this down. The goal is Christ. Keep pressing on. The goal is Christ. Keep pressing on. Last week we spoke about pursuing Christ above all else, and it just so happens that Sunday school is right in line with what we're going through right now in our book study, and pursuing Christ above all, and how that's the most important thing that any one of us can do is to pursue Christ. And today Paul continues the idea of pursuing Christ. And what he does today, he equates it to being an athlete. Immediately he says, I have, so if you take last week what we read, verse 1 through verse 11 of chapter 3 last week, he talks about pursuing Christ above all else. And then this week in verse 12 he starts, I haven't obtained all of this yet, or that I am perfect, but I press on to make it my own. In my pursuit, I press on, I move forward to make this relationship with Jesus my own. And what Paul means by this is press on towards the goal, is to press on towards the goal of the prize. And we'll talk about that prize here in a minute. So Paul pictures himself as an athlete who's getting ready to run a race, or who is in a race. And this word picture that he creates, he's inviting the Philippians and also us today and anybody who reads this for the rest of you know, the world of time, whoever reads this, he's inviting them to imagine the same thing, that each of us are in a race. We are getting ready or in a race. And Paul uses, when he talks about this, he's using all of his strength, his determination, and his concentration in aiming to fulfill, listen, the goal that Christ has for him. And it's the same goal that each of us have today that Christ has given each and every one of us, and it is the race that we all run, and the finish line is what we run to, and that goal, you ready? Perfect union with Christ. Jesus Christ is the prize. Jesus Christ is the goal that we run toward. And it is in Christ Jesus that we have. And when we work on that relationship, we come to a point where we have perfect union with Christ. See, if we look back and look at Paul's life, Paul had such an encounter on the Damascus Road as he's going to persecute Christians. He met Jesus, and a shield of light was blinded, and Christ said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And it was on that road and that encounter that Paul decided to center his life on Christ's purposes, or the result of that encounter. Paul gives his entire life, his whole purpose, to focus on Christ's purpose in his life until his race was finished. And when is that race finished? When God calls us home. So gazelle-like intensity and determination are absolutely necessary. We must all have this intensity and this determination when it comes to our relationship with Christ. Why? Why should we have this? Why can't it just be a thing that we do? We go to church on Sunday because that's what we do. Listen, this intensity is important because of everyday life. Because everyday life happens. Because we face distractions. This morning, Arvin asked, "What distracts you from time with the Lord?" And there is a various number of answers. But guess what? Those same distractions can take our focus off of the Lord and move them back over here that entrap us and pull us away from our relationship with the Lord. So every day of our lives, there are distractions. Every day of our lives, we have worries. Has anyone had worry this morning, right? You don't have to raise your hand, but if you do, listen, this is for you. All of us are faced with temptation. Temptations are designed to what? Turn us away from the Lord. Evil desires, and even potentially chasing after riches. Chasing after growing our pocketbook can become a distraction and can pull us from our gazelle-like intensity and determination in our relationship with the Lord. And every single one of these items, they are designed solely to break your focus on your relationship with Christ Jesus and pull your attention somewhere else. So the goal is Christ, keep pressing on. The goal is Christ, keep pressing on. And this is why Paul says in verse 13, if you've still got your Bible open, you can look at it. But Paul says in verse 13, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. And what Paul means by this, forgetting what is behind requires letting go of both good and bad experiences. We must not dwell on past fears. We must not dwell on past difficulties or past failures, because what this does is it allows Satan to frustrate or overwhelm us with guilt. Has anybody ever heard, when you've invited somebody to church, have you ever heard them say, well, I've got to get this right in my life before I can come to church? Anybody? Am I the only one? I think I said that to Sean back in 2008. I have to work on this before I can come to God. That's because there's guilt, and that guilt is designed to keep you away from the Lord Jesus. So let's remember, and let's have faith, and let's hope, And let's also know that Christ Jesus had freed us from all of that. There's no reason for us to hang on to our past, our mistakes, the things that we have done. Because as believers in Christ Jesus, you are blood bought, your sins are forgiven, and they are no longer remembered. So why should you remember them? That was a really good place for somebody to say amen. That is the gospel message. See, it's in our race and the intensity with which we approach that race when we come to know Christ. It determines our effort. If we're willing to put some intensity and determination, it requires a part from us, doesn't it? We can't just sit idly by and hope and expect that things are going to happen. It requires intentional effort. Guess what it takes to read your Bible? Intentional effort, right? I can't go to sleep on this and just magically, oh, all of a sudden I know every word on every page. It takes time to read this. It takes intentional effort to read this. We have to have a part in this. So I would submit to you today that if you are not praying, if you are not in church, if you are not reading your Bible, how can you expect to be living in Christ's plan for your life? If your toes hurt, I'm not meaning to step on them this morning. But how can you expect to even grow in your relationship with Christ if your effort is zero? If we have no desire and no intensity of with which we pursue Christ, I say this all the time. Arvin, you said it this morning. You relate it to a marriage. If you don't put work in a marriage, how can you expect results out of a marriage? If you don't show up, if you get married and then you're gone for like 35 years from each other and you come back, I don't think that relationship looks the same as what it was if you spent all day, every day for 35 years with that person. It requires effort on our part. And as we grow as people, I'm sorry, Brooklyn, this isn't in my notes, so try to stick with me here. If we grow as people, am I the same as today as I was 14 years ago when we got married? She's thinking, praise the Lord for that. We should not, if we look back 14 years of our relationship with Jesus, we should not be in the same spot we were 14 years ago. Because there's intentional effort, things happen, things change. So what I'm saying in that is there's growth. There's growth in a marriage, there's growth in relationships, and there's also spiritual growth. We must have spiritual growth because it's part of our race. And part of that race means that we are maturing every day, that we are growing closer to Christ every single day. That is our spiritual growth. And it is up to us. I can't make you. I cannot come to your house in the morning. I cannot force you to get out of bed when the alarm goes off instead of hitting snooze two or three times. I can't force that. It is up to every single one of us to be able to put into practice the biblical knowledge that you already know. That is up to every one of you. How much of this knowledge do I want to apply to my life today? It is up to you in the measure of which you apply it to your life. So that requires a conscious decision, doesn't it? I can preach every Sunday and I can bring all the whatever, but if you don't apply anything that you hear on Sunday or anything that you read in your Bible, what's going to change? So it is up to you to apply the knowledge that you already have. It's also up to you to live this out, to not only apply and say, I know this is wrong, or I know this is what I should be doing, but I'll worry about that 10 years from now. It is also your responsibility to actively apply this knowledge to your life. And listen, ready? Not using that knowledge, guess who's that's on? You. Not the Lord, not me. Not the board, not your Sunday school teacher, you. If you don't apply that knowledge, it's on you. This is a little illustration that I came up with, and it's not very good, but I think it gets the point across. So listen, if you are the last person alive on the earth, okay? Sean, you're all by yourself, okay? Every day, a pile of eggs resets right next to you, okay? You get a dozen eggs every day. You know how to cook eggs, but you don't want to be the one to cook them, so you never cook those eggs, and eventually you die because you starved because you wanted somebody else to cook those eggs. Whose fault is that? Okay? I know that that is like the silliest way, but listen, if we have knowledge and we don't apply and use that knowledge, that is on us. So if we are struggling with the same sin over and over and over again, and the Lord has said, just give it to me, lay it at the altar, let me have it, but you won't let him have it. Come on. He's given us the way to release it. It is to trust him, to give it to him. That doesn't mean we don't still have struggles, but it's a lot easier when I give it to the Lord than it is for me to try to deal with it on my own. So what does gazelle intensity look like in everyday life of a believer? And maybe you don't like that gazelle intensity as much as I do, but if you're a hunter, or ever maybe you grew up on a farm, I don't know. Stick with me here, though. There's intensity. There's intentionality. If you go out to hunt, you're very intentional. Even the boys on their football game, by the way, they won Friday night, which is amazing. But it took intensity, didn't it, boys? You had to execute all your plays exactly, didn't you? You had to run harder than the team across the line, didn't you? You had to fight harder to want to win that game than the other team did, correct? You have to show up and give what? 110%. The same applies here. And so I just wonder, are we willing to put that intensity, and Arvin, I don't remember how Sunday school said it, but you asked the same question. Are you willing to put the same amount of effort in your pursuit of Christ as you are in these every other day things that you follow? And so here's what gazelle intensity looks like in the believer. You ready? It's by choosing to follow Jesus every single day. Even in the simple, even in the everyday things, that just the things that happen in your life, you just choose to follow Jesus every single day. You can do it by starting your day by giving your plans to Jesus. Lord, I'm willing to serve in any capacity that you have for me today. Allow me to be open to the Holy Spirit's guidance and to follow through with the things that you've asked me to do. You can give your plans to God and ask him to guide you every single day. Lord, I just want to live my life for you today. Make it a habit to read your Bible. Wake up and read your Bible in the morning. Sit down and actually pick up your Bible and read it. And listen, it's okay if you just read a little. It's better than not reading it at all. Because if we read even just a little, that little that we have read will surely lead us to think and act the way God has called us to think and act. If we apply it to our life, the way that God desires for us to live. Gazelle intensity means we take time to pray. We talk to God about what worries us and ask him for his strength to keep going when life gets tough. Is life tough for you this morning? I would submit to you that in prayer, relying on God's strength is where you're going to find the most amount of comfort that comes. See, the key is to make a decision and to make time for God every single day in your daily routine and let him be a part of everything you do. Let him be present with you in everything you do. That means at work. That means with family. That means in your free time. Be intentional and have the intensity to live in a way that shows that you're following Jesus. What does your life show when you're not in the walls of the church? Treat others with kindness and respect. That's just a good thing to do anyways. Can we agree to that? Treat others with kindness and respect. And do your best to honor God in how you act and in how you speak. Let others see your relationship with Jesus because of how you carry yourself as a Christian. Here's another thing. You can surround yourself with people who encourage you in your faith and help you stay on track. That's called an accountability partner. If you're struggling with something, it's okay to ask somebody to come along with you. Somebody who is more mature in the faith and say, hey, I could really use some help and some extra prayer on this and maybe somebody to talk about with this. Find somebody who can help you stay accountable to keep you on track. Even if it's just, hey, did you read your Bible today? What did the Lord speak to you today? Oh, you only read one verse? That's okay. What verse was it? How do you think we can apply this to our lives today? Or what is God speaking to us on this one verse today? It's okay to have those conversations. The Lord never intended for our faith to be our own, did he? It's to be in partnership. It's to be in community. It's to be together. So when life gets hard, keep pushing. Keep pressing forward, as Paul says. Knowing that Jesus is with you and he is the one that gives you the strength to keep going. By doing these things, by implementing these items, and those are just a few of the items you could be doing, but by doing these things, you are taking daily steps toward knowing Jesus more today than you did yesterday. To knowing Jesus better and intentionally making him part, the most important part of your day is taking those steps of intentionality. The goal is Christ. Keep pressing on. So the question I have for you today is, how can we expect God to give us more spiritually? How can we expect him just more? How can we expect more when we aren't living up and applying the biblical principles we already know? If we're not applying Scripture to our life, and if we're not growing in our relationship with the Lord, how can we expect more from the Lord? Because we're not doing the thing that he's already asked us to do. See, Paul encourages us to press on to higher levels, to into a deeper relationship in our spiritual walk with God. In essence, he's saying, run the race with such intensity so you can obtain the prize. And so what this means in context of how do we do this in our life, we break the spiritual cycle of victory followed by defeat. If you see, like, there's people that go, like I was talking about the pop-up drive-thru, this roller coaster that we went through. We see people on a spiritual roller coaster where there's victory one day and then there's defeat the next day. There's victory here, but there's defeat here. We must break that cycle of spiritual victory and defeat, because is what it does, it will slow or it'll completely stop our pursuit of Christ. It might stop our Christian maturity because we've allowed this cycle to get the best of us. Now, that's not to address that, of course, circumstances change, right? Our feelings go up and down. You might be happy one minute, you might not be happy the next. That happens. That's called life. Despite the things that we cannot control, because if we're really honest about it, we look at things that we can control, it's very little, isn't it? It's very little of what we can control. But we can still make consistent effort in our spiritual progress by growing closer to God and applying his word to our life every single day. Now, we have an awareness of our circumstances, because no two circumstances in this church this morning are the same. We understand that we all have our own emotions. Paul goes on, we read this in towards the end of chapter 3 there, we must watch for what Paul calls enemies of the cross. What does an enemy of the cross mean? Well, let's dive into that here for a second. enemies of the cross would be people who claim to follow Christ, but at the same time, they corrupt the gospel message and insult Christ's reputation by living immoral lifestyles and not following or believing biblical principles taught, or their teaching or believing false teachings of the gospel message. And I think we can all agree that's much of what we have creeping into the church in America today. If Christ's message is the good news, it's the best news. If it is the good news, and it's life-changing, and it has forever changed each one of our lives, then we should have a strong passion for the truth and purity of Christ's message. We should have a passion. Our heart should be stirred whenever we see the message distorted. Whenever we see things that aren't biblically true, or we even see others who abandon their faith to follow their desires because they have not applied this knowledge to their life, or they leave to follow enemies of the cross because this message sounds better than this one over here, Paul gives a very direct warning to those enemies of the cross. Their destiny is what? Destruction. Paul says their destiny is destruction. But not us. Not for those who are running toward the prize of Christ Jesus. Our hope lies in verse 20. And it's our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. When we become Christians, we are no longer citizens of this earth. We now have a citizenship that supersedes the rest, and we are citizens of heaven. Our race is to get to heaven. Our race and our goal is to get to heaven to be with Christ, who is our prize. And do you know that Jesus has promised today to return and to take his bride, the church, us, to heaven, where he has been preparing a place for us? The citizenship in heaven requires us to stand firm, to have that intensity and intentionality in our relationship with the Lord. It's not like the USA, where if you're born here in the USA, you automatically have citizenship. It's called birthright citizenship. You have citizenship until you've renounced it or you give it up to have citizenship somewhere else. As citizens of heaven, we are called to let go of anything that hinders your pursuit of Christ. So, the things that we look back for, we only press forward. So let go of these things that hinders our pursuit of Christ. This not only includes sin, but it also includes the distractions, the worldly ambitions that we would chase after, and even complacency. We must strive daily to know Christ more. We must strive daily to grow in our faith every single day. And we must strive to live with eternity in view. If we live with eternity in view, does that not change how we do A, B, and C if we're looking at Z all the time, which is in eternity? Because we know that there is nothing in this world that compares to the surpassing worth of gaining the prize, Christ. So what does gazelle intensity look like? How can we further apply this knowledge? And it's very simple. Church, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes set on Jesus. Stacy, if you want to come on up. It also means to run your race with perseverance. It means that you are trusting that Jesus is your ultimate reward. So no matter what life brings you, no matter what distractions come, no matter whether I say the right word or I'm tongue-tied or I forget my handset and all the other things, don't let the distractions keep you from attaining the ultimate reward, which is Christ Jesus. So this morning, my charge to you this morning is to determine to have a gazelle-like intensity in your life, to run the race as a gazelle runs away from a cheetah. I know that might be cheesy, but when I read Total Money Makeover years and years and years ago, that line stuck with me. It is all the intensity of the world. Does that gazelle want to be ate by the cheetah? No, he wants to run with everything he has to be away from that. We should have that same intensity running towards the Lord. And church, it's this. It's to live with for Christ. It is to live for Christ with every fiber of who we are. Every fiber of our being, we live for Christ. At the end of the day, we have to be about the things that He is about. We have to be for what He is for, because His purposes are far greater than our purposes. So engaging our community for Jesus, which is our mission statement here at Engage Church, it requires us to be solely focused on Jesus. To run the race, to get the prize. We all have our own race that we're running. Don't get distracted by life. Don't get distracted by enemies of the cross. Stand firm on God's word. If you would you stand with me this morning as we close? You can bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. See, the unchanging good news is that Jesus is worth running towards. The prize that we seek, Jesus. It's the same Jesus who died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, He rose from the dead, forever defeating sin and death. And it's because of that that we can come to Him. We can confess Him as Lord and Savior of our life. We can believe that God rose Him from the dead. And it says, Romans 10:9 says, you will be saved. There is forgiveness of sin because of this. So this morning, whether this is in a brand new way, you've never asked Jesus to be part of your life, or maybe this is in a fresh way, maybe you've made some decisions that have taken you away from your relationship with the Lord, you've gotten distracted by this, that, or the other, and in a fresh way, you want to say, Jesus, I want to make a decision for you. I want a relationship with you this morning. If that's you, with every eye closed, every head bowed, if that is you, would you please just shoot your hand up and put it back down? Amen. So church, as we close today, maybe instead of gazelle-like intensity, you've had sloth-like intensity. You've pursued your relationship with the Lord as a sloth. I want to encourage you today. Today can be the day that you commit. Today can be the day that you commit to pressing on towards the goal like Paul, with all the intensity, the determination, and the intentionality. To decide today to run the race, to always look forward and not behind. Each and every one of us have a decision today that we can make Jesus the most important thing in our life. See, seeking and submitting to Jesus every day is how we run the race. We seek Him. We submit ourselves to Him every single day. We run the race and we pursue more of Jesus and His will. So if today you want to publicly say, you want people to see, you're making, just like when we do baptism, it's a public confession of what we believe inwardly. That is our outward confession of faith. And so today, if you want to make the public statement to say, I commit to making Jesus the most important thing in my life, if that is your desire this morning, right now, would you just take time to come up to the altar, seek the Lord. The worship team's just going to continue to play. I can't make you do this. I can't make you apply this knowledge. This is up to you to do. So in this moment, would you come to the altar and seek Jesus as if He's the most important thing in your life?